It's a great phrase, isn't it? You were created for a purpose. And God talks to us here about bringing glory to the Father. That's a pretty neat thing. That's a pretty neat thing. That's why we are created, to bring glory to God, to please God, to bless God, because it's His desire. Hey, I want to thank you all for being here today, and don't start looking at me already that you want me to stop talking. Wait a minute, Greg, why did you put that in their mind? Okay, it really is good to see you. I'm glad that you are here today. We've been talking a little bit about the spirit of adoption. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Greg started us off on this series, and he used this verse from Romans 8 that talked about that. We weren't given the spirit of really a fear, but of adopted as sons, that God brought us into this family, by which we return to God, and we call Him Abba, Father, you know, Daddy, Father, and we've been kind of wrapping our brain around it. But, you know, it's interesting to think about when we're talking about this, are we talking about spiritual adoption, God bringing us into His home? You know, the Bible tells us that we're all like orphans. You know, we had this father who was a liar and a murderer, and he left us here as orphans. And then God invites us into His home. He adopts us into His family, and we have a new father. Are we talking about that kind of a spiritual adoption, or are we talking about this idea of physical adoption, bringing kids into our home, foster care, like the Clarks are talking about here and doing? What are we talking about with the spirit of adoption? And is it one or the other? And the answer is no. It's kind of both. It's really both. I don't know. I've kind of found out that pregnancies they just seem to happen sometimes. They just there may be more to it than they just seem to happen. There might be. I'm not going to get you know that they don't just happen sometimes. A stork, yeah, the cabbage patch, you know. All right, so there's more to it. They don't just kind of happen, but we don't have a lot of control over them sometimes. Maybe that's a better way to say it. You know, I know when I was born, I was the fourth in my family. I have a brother, John, he's 10 years older than me. I have a sister, Brenda. She won't want me to tell you how much older she is than me, 8 years. In case you're watching that, Brenda, she might watch it online. I have brother Jeff, who's 5 years older than I am, and my parents really planned on 3 children. And 5 years later, 1963, good, nobody goes, ooh, wow, that's really old. I came along. Now, today, you may find people who'd say, oh, you're an oops baby or an accident or something like that. I didn't grow up that way. My parents installed in me that, yeah, we didn't expect you, but you were a gift to us. You are a gift from God to us. You know, I was thinking about today, too. Do you know that this Tuesday we have someone in the room who was a gift at that time? And I believe it's her birthday this Tuesday. Jane is the oldest person who actually comes to church. We have some who are older who can't get here. But Jane Lansing in the back, is it 90 what, Jane? 90, what is it, Chris? 90 what? 93 on Tuesday. And, you know, Jane's birth wasn't by accident. God ordained this to happen. You know, I have 2 children, and I don't know if Matt realized this until last night when he heard me talking, that neither one of them were actually like, okay, let's have a kid type time. My daughter, Bethany, we were married, not Bethany and I, but Ada and I were married. That would have been really weird. Adrian and I were married in 1985, September 21st, 1985, and 10 months and 16 days later, this little girl, you can see her on the screen, was born. Yeah, that's what I was going for with that, the awe. So I had Shirley do it. The rest of you didn't go awe? Let's try that again. 10 months, there we go. Thank you, Ann out there. That's what I'm looking, now I could cry. Shoot. I'm sorry about that phone ringing there. By the way, that's a good sign to silence your phones if you haven't already. Then it was 10 years, 3 months, and 10 days later after we got married, my little boy over here, who made me really proud, they always put a chair in here so I don't walk around too much. They can actually get me on video. He said, you know, Dad, from now on, I'm going to put that chair up there for you. When I was walking over there, I got that for you from now on. Thank you, Matt. But 10 years... And gosh, what is this? This is unreal. That never happens. She knows that. She knows I'm doing this now. I don't know why that's happening. But pregnancies, they can kind of happen. But you know, adoptions, they don't just happen. I got to, if it rings again, I'm going to have to answer, because Adrian knows that I'm always doing this at this time. I'm sorry. It's got to be important here. It's got to be important. Yeah, hello? Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm speaking right now. What? You're kidding me. There's a little girl in our guest room? How old is she? She says she's 4. What's her name? Judy? What is she doing there? She says we're adopting her? What? Adrian, that's wait, how much medication do you take today? Adoptions just don't happen, does it? I'm not going to get a call from my wife, hey, there's a little girl in our guest room. Hey, did you know anything about this? I didn't know anything about it. Adoptions happen how? They're intentional. Christy and Greg, as crazy as you may be, 3 kids? 1, 4, and 5? Are you? I asked that. I asked Christy, are you crazy? She's going, yeah, I am. You think about this. They're very intentional about this. They brought Grace and Jacob into their home intentionally because of this father's heart. The spirit of adoption. They've got to do it. But no one adopts by accident. There's an intentionality that takes place. You've gone through this process. I'm gonna. All right. It won't make any more noise. I promise you. There's this process you go through. When you first went to adopt, how many weeks did you have to go through these classes to do foster care? 10 classes. Yeah, it doesn't just happen. You know, you didn't just all of a sudden show up at this place. Oh, I'm here. I'll stay here. It's intentional. And see, that's really how it was with God. That's how it was with us. You see, God chose us to be holy and blameless. He chose us. I'm going to ask if you would turn in your scripture to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at a few verses there. And the first point there is that God chose us to be holy and blameless. That's what He did. This idea of choosing. The scripture I'm going to look at is verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. By the way, that idea of every spiritual blessing, Paul describes that through those first few verses of Ephesians. You want to know what those spiritual blessings are, about being redeemed, about being sealed by His Spirit, about Christ being sent. You know, this idea that this blessing, this spiritual blessing that we have in God, go study that, go read about that. That is, in Christ, He chose us before the world was made so that we would be his holy people, people without blame before him. I would ask, if it's your Bible there, just go ahead and encircle those words, he chose us. If it's not your Bible and it's the pew Bible and you don't have a Bible at home, you go ahead and take that pew Bible with you, and then you can go ahead and circle it. But if it's you're not going to keep it, don't circle it. You can go ahead and circle it in that too. Someone says, oh, someone was reading that. Boy, that must be important. But he chose us before the foundations of this world. Now, if you've been involved in church very long, it wouldn't be too long till you find out that this phrase, he chose us, has been a topic of discussion, maybe conflict, separation of the church. You know, because we get into this idea of there's this theory of election, theology of election, and then there's this theology of free will. You know, how does all this fit together? There was a fellow, John Calvin, back in the 16th century. He put together this thesis or this theology about the sovereignty of God, and that God chose us and kind of predestined us to be his. There was another fellow, Jacobus Arminius. He was another guy who in the 17th century kind of put together his thoughts on this to kind of counter Calvin in talking about, no, it's not God's choosing, it's us choosing God and free will, and there's these two lines of thought, and there's been a divide in the church and people trying to figure this out. Which is it? Is it God choosing me, or is it I'm choosing God? And boy, it just gets kind of crazy. And unfortunately, in the church, there's been these things that have caused division. And in the world's perspective, they're thinking, you're all nuts. You guys say you follow the same God, you have the same Jesus, he sends you the whole same Holy Spirit, but yet you're going to fight and divide over all these things, and he thinks you're nuts. You know, there's a little video that I think that kind of can portray just how nuts we can be sometimes. Let's watch this video.
Like what?
Are you religious or an atheist?
Religious.
Me too. Are you Christian or Buddhist?
Christian.
Me too. Are you Catholic or Protestant?
A Protestant.
Me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist?
I'm Baptist.
Hallelujah. Me too. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?
Baptist Church of God.
Me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God?
Reformed Baptist Church of God.
Me too! Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1879 or Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915?
Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation 1915.
And let's face it, sometimes we're just nuts about things. And you know, it's just kind of, it's crazy. We're going to put this line in the sand and say, you know, hey, we got Jesus. We're not talking about people who have Jesus and don't have Jesus. We're not talking about, and the world thinks we're nuts. You go and you look in John chapter 15. We can kind of see some of the things in here. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. We see that in Scripture. Jesus is saying that to his disciples. He's saying it to us. You didn't choose me, I chose you. In the same gospel, the same writer, John, writes this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wait a minute now. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever chooses to believe in him? Is it, did God choose me or did I choose God? Which is it here? This is, well, which verse is true? Can they both be true? Yeah, they can. Do I fully grasp all that? No, I don't. And if you're looking for a pastor who can fully grasp it, first of all, if you find one who says he does, he's lying, okay? He doesn't fully grasp it. He doesn't get, because there's no way. There's no way I can understand everything about God. There's no way you can understand everything about God. He says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're more vast. We can't begin to comprehend this God who speaks and out of nothing, everything is created. I can't grab that. I was talking with Nanette. I just like saying her name, Nanette. I don't say that name too often. She's new here, and I think she'll come back even though I said her name to Nanette. She's blushing a little bit back there. Don't turn around and look at her. She's in the back row next to Sean, but don't look at her. That's it. I'm never going back to that church again. Now, but she was saying to me, she goes, you know, I think of the proverb, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. He's telling us, don't trust your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Good verse, Nanette. Thanks for pointing that out to me. That's the type of God we have. He can understand things that I don't understand. And you all ought to be thankful that our God is bigger than what I can understand. And you're saying, Jay, we don't have any problem with that. Trust me, you know. We know it's that God has his sovereignty. He's the one who initiates. But as men and women, we have a responsibility to follow. It's kind of both in there. You look in again in the Gospel of John, we see Jesus say, the Father is the one who sent me. No one comes to me unless the Father draws me or draws him to me. God's the one who's drawing us. We can't come to know God without that drawing. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, he says, there is no one who understands. There's no one who looks to God for help. We wouldn't do this on our own unless somehow God is inviting us and we're sensing him drawing us. It can't happen. It doesn't happen unless he does it. But Jay, what about this idea that if God chooses some people, the hard part about it, then it appears as if then God doesn't choose. It's kind of this, they call it the theology of double election. He doesn't choose other people. What is all that about? Again, Paul writes in Romans 9, God said to Moses, I will show kindness to anyone whom I want to show kindness. I will show mercy to anyone to whom I want to show mercy. So God will choose the one to whom he decides to show mercy and chooses not to depend on what people want or what people try to do. It's saying God is God in here. Do I understand all that? Gee, I've got some thoughts about it. But again, you don't want a pastor who can understand it all, because then you'll have a God that's too small. Paul writes to Timothy, God, who gives us strength to do that, saved us and made us his holy people. That was not because of anything we did ourselves, but because of God's purpose and grace. That grace was given to us through Christ Jesus before time began. It's this idea that before anything happened, God had this plan. We have a God who sees, he's not limited by time. He sees all the way through. He knows everything. We have a God who before time began purposed for us to know him, purposed for us to experience his grace, purposed for God, his son, Jesus, to come into the earth, purposed that when Jesus returned, that he sends his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to now come and invade us, to change us, to transform us. See, God chose us to be holy and blameless. And God also then predestined us to be a part of his family because it gives him pleasure. You know, most of the time when we think about this idea of coming to know Christ, we think about, how does it affect me? How does it benefit me? What does it mean to me? And you know what? God didn't save you because of what it meant to you. It just happened to be a nice byproduct. We can say, yeah, I'm going to be with Jesus forever in heaven. The reason he did it, and we see it in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1, he predestined us for adoption as son through Christ, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. The New Century Version says it like this: because of his love, God had already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted and what pleases him. See, God predestined us to be a part of his family because it brings him pleasure. You bring God pleasure. Think about that. What, me? Each of you, by knowing God, brings him pleasure. Those of you who have children, do your children ever bring you pleasure? When you look out at them and you see them, right now's the time, Manny, to shake your head yes, because you got Zayden sitting on your lap. Yes, Zayden, you bring me pleasure. You know, so he sees you doing that. Don't, no, no. What are you shaking your head no for? That's what's in the, yes, it's yes. We know what that is experience. Someday I hope to know what that experience is with Matt. But I'm trusting, no, he brings me great pleasure. We bring God pleasure. And again, it wasn't by human design. Jesus tells us, or we find John tells us about Jesus in John chapter 1. He says, but to all who did accept him and believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. They did not become this. They did not become his children in any human way, by any human parents or human desire. They were born of God. It's this idea, he gives us the right to become children of God by this idea of believing. And what does it really mean to believe? You know, if you look around and you surveyed people in the world, they would say, 85% of people would say, yeah, I believe in God. Well, tell me, by their life, by the way they live their life, do you feel that 80%, 85% of the people really know God? You don't really see much of a change in their life. When you believe in God in the way that the Bible talks about believing, it's actually the better word of it, I believe, is called to entrust yourself. I used to say this when Matt was little. I wouldn't say it now. But let's say the building was on fire and Matt was a little boy. And I say, jump, I'll catch you. I don't say jump now. It'd be, we'd both be down. You know, but when he was a little boy, Manny, if his house is on fire and Zayden's up in the window, he says, jump, I'm going to catch you. Zayden says, I jump. The idea of believing is jumping out of the window. And you have this idea, you're falling, you can't stop yourself anymore. You know that your father's going to catch you. That's what it means to believe, because you entrusted yourself now. There was a point of no return. And he catches us. I would still try to catch him, Matt. Just to let you know that. And there's a change that takes place when this belief happens. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in our life. And we go through this process of changing. There's another scripture in Romans 8:29. God knew them before he made the world. Talk about us. God knew us before he made the world. I hope that's okay to change that word a little bit there. He chose us to be like his son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. It's this idea that God chose us to be like Jesus. And you know, here, when I was 20, actually it was April 15th, I remember it because it was tax day, April 15, 1983, God brought me to this point. You laughing at Ayanna? Man, this guy is old. I know what you're thinking. I was born in 83. Are you kidding me? Gosh, this old man, let's get Greg back up there. He's young, he's hip, you know. But seriously, I remember it was around midnight. I heard God clearly. Jay, are you going to follow me? Or are you going to follow the ways of the world? You know what's right. What are you going to do? And from that point on, I looked to follow God with great passion. But you know, 31 years later, I'm different than what I was. Like this verse, Romans 8, I'm more like Christ today than I was then. Am I exactly like Christ now? Heaven, no. But I'm a whole lot further than I was. I'm different than I was. Every day I'm being transformed more and more by God, becoming more and more like Christ. There's things that he's taken out of me. There's things he's putting into me. But every day, I'm getting this understanding that I'm more and more like Christ. If you know Jesus, you're seeing that happen in your life too. You're not who you used to be. Thank goodness. You're not who you need to be yet. But we call that word, what's that big long word? Sanctification. The process of, remember that first point where God's making us holy and blameless? That's what it means, sanctification. This cleansing process, this changing in our life process. So we've got that God chose us to be holy and blameless. We get this idea that God predestined us to be a part of his family because it gives him pleasure. But then God graced us so that he can receive glory. God graced us so he can receive glory. Again, look at Ephesians 1, chapter 6. And it brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely in Christ, the one who he loves. New Living Translation. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. This idea that because it brings honor and glory to God, it brings praise to God. There's this change, and this idea that this grace is being poured out onto us. You start to pour something out, you can't stop it so easily, can you? Once it starts to pour, whatever's been out, it's coming out. God's pouring his grace upon us. What's grace? Quickly. Unmerited favor, his love. How would we define grace? Not getting what we deserve, right? What do we deserve? The sin in my life, what do I deserve? Eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. But out of his great love, out of his great grace, his mercy, he gives me eternal life. And he's pouring it onto us. Why? So that I can go to heaven? Well, that's part of it. But he's doing it because it brings him glory. People look at you and say, you're not the same person you were. You're different. Wow, God has worked in your life. Praise God for that. God had to do something pretty amazing. I don't know if we really get this idea of how it brings glory to God or how we glorify God. But that's why we were created. See, we tend to take a look at it a selfish way, don't we? I was created because God loves me so I can enjoy these things of God and what God might give to me. That's really not correct. Scripture tells us we were created for a purpose, and that purpose is to honor God, to bless God. God chose us to be holy and blameless. He predestined us to be a part of his family because it gives him pleasure. He graced us so that he can receive glory. It's about God. It's about what he longs for. And now we get the opportunity to live in this spirit of adoption. God's adopted us into our family. We get to live this way. From Romans 8:15, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We live in the spirit of adoption. This idea, the spirit of adoption has come over us as a congregation. This is why we exist. It's why we're here. It's not for us. It's not for us to feel good. Pastor Greg mentioned earlier, we have the boxes in the back where people put their offering to God. It's not for us. It's for God. It's for His glory. It's for His pleasure. It's to bring honor and glory to Him. And He's given us the spirit of adoption as a congregation because it's what He's about. It's what He longs to do. It's what He cares for. We got 163 million orphans in the world. Because of the spirit of adoption, our Heavenly Father wants to comfort these kids, establish these kids in Him, and He gives us that spirit of adoption, so we care for kids around us. So the Clarks will do something crazy, what seems crazy to me, and have three children under the age of five come and be a part of their family all at once. Because God loves these children, and He causes us to sacrifice for that. You know, I'm not in the place where I can bring children into my home right now, but I can sacrifice for children. You know, I give my tithe to the church. The 15th of the month, automatically it goes, boom, and it gets sent to here, online giving. I do it then so that it's kind of, you don't need to know why I do it then. It doesn't matter. I do it. But I'm going to give sacrificially elsewhere. So I give $100 a month out to kids to help sponsor kids who don't have this, who are orphans in Uganda and in Haiti. We had Al and Bev in here last week talking about their mission in Haiti and their orphans. You know, I support them because they're rescuing kids. And the amazing thing about it, these kids are being rescued, and the purpose in their life now is changing. Remember Al was talking about the one little girl they rescued? Their mother would hold her up by her feet upside down and would kick her in the head. They rescued this little girl. You know what this little girl does? She goes back to her home. It's only a couple houses down the block. And prays for her mom and reads the scripture to her now. We want to see Haiti changed. Let's adopt these little kids in Haiti, have them come to know Jesus and be sent back out to be a light in their own homes. Instead of being taught to place curses on each other, they're placing blessings and praying for each other. I can make a difference there by giving money to help support them. You can do that too. Maybe you can't bring foster kids in. Maybe you can't adopt kids in now. Maybe you can do this respite thing where for a weekend you can bring a kid in, a couple kids in. Maybe there's other avenues. Greg's got a lot of these thought out, so go talk to Greg. His heart breaks for children. But we also have this idea of the spirit of adoption for those who don't know the Father. You know, we talk about a lot, right? We're for the one. We're for the one true living God. And we're for the one who doesn't know Him yet. The one out there who God wants to welcome into His family. The one, as we read her earlier, that God predestined. And He predestined them to come in. You know what? He predestined us to go out and get them. We're doing this Love 2020 initiative. Those bookmarks are in the back. It's the idea of asking God for five people. We've been talking about the... I see Nayana smile now because she's doing this. She goes, well, what if God gives me someone I don't want to pray for? And we didn't talk about that, did we, when we asked you to do it? But she prayed for him on Friday, didn't she? Because God said, what did He say to you? Yeah, she goes, I don't want to pray for him. And He goes, I don't care. Pray for him anyway. We're praying for people to come. Why? Because that's God's heart. Like, we used to be orphans. There's thousands of people who were orphans out there. And God predestined them, chose them. And you know what? He predestined us and chose us to go out. For a reason. So that people would be able to come in and know the Father. We can pray for people. We can care for people. We can love them and share with them. We've been doing this circle maker thing. We just started this week. Come on out on Thursday nights. The idea is praying about intentional prayers. That's really about it. It's used as an allegory of this guy who drew a circle and prayed for rain. It's just using that as an idea. But it's an intentional prayer. You know, at home, I have this 3-foot by 3-foot square styrofoam thing, and on it is a 50-mile radius and a map of the capital region. Why? Because I'm praying intentionally for the, like, 1.2 million people who live in that 50-mile radius, who probably well over a million have no idea about Jesus. I have that to pray for them. I didn't know this happened before that book ever came out. Drew a circle around the capital region, asking God to move. It's intentional prayer. That's what we're doing here on Thursdays. We're intentionally praying for people all around us in our community, asking God to move. And you know, these are the prayers that God wants to answer. James tells us not to pray prayer. A lot of times we pray prayers and they're not answered. Why? Because we pray amiss. We pray for selfish motivations because we're a selfish people. But the spirit of adoption leads us out of that selfishness. And it leads us to sacrificial life. Because that's how Jesus lived, a sacrificial life. And the spirit of adoption has engulfed our congregation. And we're not about ourselves. Yeah, we have this peace. This peace has been made with us in God. There's a peace that we have. But there's also an uneasy, a restlessness, because there's so many other people who don't have that peace. And God is restless. It's His desire that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. So what should our desire be? God's given us the spirit of adoption, because He cares for this world around us. He's given us the spirit of adoption when He chose us and chose us to be holy and blameless before us, and He made a way for that to happen. God gave us the spirit of adoption when He predestined us to be a part of His family, because it gives Him pleasure, for His pleasure. Because of His glory, God graced us and gave us the spirit of adoption, welcomed us into His family for His glory, and now He gives a spirit of adoption that we can live in, and He lives through us to a dying and hurting world. And the question is, how do we respond to that? I'm going to do that thing that we always ask you to do at this time. It's time that you just kind of close your eyes and bow your head. And, I promise you, nobody's going to come up and do anything weird, you know, tickle you or anything like that, or tap you on the shoulder. Nothing strange is going to happen. If you have a tendency to do anything strange, just people close their eyes, don't do anything now. Resist. But I'm just going to ask, close your eyes. Just kind of get centered with God. Maybe you're here today and you know what, you thought you believed in God, but you know what, there hasn't been any real change in your life. Or maybe you're here today and she goes, you know, I've never really thought about being adopted by God and becoming one of His children, but I'd like to talk to somebody about that. No pressure, nothing strange, but a casual conversation about exploring how you can know this God of the universe who chose you and loves you and died for you. If you're that person and you just want to talk, again, no commitment, no, nothing weird here. You'd like to talk to somebody about how you can know this Heavenly Father like that? I'm just going to count to three, and I'm just going to ask that you look up at me. Make sure we get eye contact so I can see you. I'll nod at you. And you could just say, yeah, I'm looking for that. So I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I'm just going to ask that you look at me. 1, 2, 3. Okay, thank you. And how about the rest of us? Let's close our eyes again. Maybe you've been like Craig and Christy, and you've been answering this call, the spirit of adoption, finding a way to rescue kids, or maybe it's you're on this path of praying people into the kingdom, but maybe we haven't given it much thought. Maybe your person you just haven't thought about that a whole lot. And today you're sensing God saying, you know what? It's time to walk and live in the spirit of adoption. And you want to say yes to God. Yes, God, I'm willing to pray for one. I'm willing to pray for five people who don't know you. I'm willing to consider how I can rescue kids who need a mom or a dad. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to count to three. And if that's who you are, I'm just going to ask you to look at me. And I'll nod at you and recognize that you looked at me. But it's saying, yes, Lord, I want to live in the same spirit of adoption. Become like you. Here we go. One, two, three. That's you. Just look at me. And I'll nod at you. You can close your eyes again after that. Lord, I thank you for how you're at work. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who loved us, who even before the foundations of the world, before the world was even created, you chose us to walk with you. Lord, we understand there's a sovereignty in your problem, on your end of it. And Lord, we also know there's a responsibility on our end to follow after you. Jesus, you told us to make disciples, train them to obey everything you've commanded. Lord, there's a responsibility on our end. Today, Lord, we come and we sit before you and we say yes, Lord. We say yes to you. I thank you, Lord, that you've adopted us into your kingdom, and I thank you for all that means for us. But Lord, I'm so glad that we can bring pleasure to you, that we bring glory to you. Father, fill us with your spirit, so that your love, the Father's love for a hurting world, lives within us and is poured out through us. Today, Lord, we come and we bless you. And we thank you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name.